Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. You are listening to the ministry of God Is and our series, God and Satan and Man and Woman, which covers every verse of Genesis chapter 3. And now, verse 21, which says this. Moses is writing, and for our edification, he says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them." As we will learn, this is a gracious and powerful act of God towards man and woman, an act of God that foreshadows the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross. I invite you, I call you now to pay close attention to Genesis 3:21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. You may well remember that Adam and Eve have already tried to cover themselves. Back in verse 7 of this same chapter, we read this, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." Do you remember that? Fig leaves as loin coverings? The loins are the area of the human body that includes our sex organs. And in the shame brought on by sin, Adam and Eve immediately seek cover. That is interesting because before their sin, the Bible says, "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." That was Genesis 2:25. Genesis 2, verse 25. So that before sin, life in the nude, in the garden, was not something to be ashamed of. But at the point of sin, suddenly, public nudity was something to be ashamed of. There emerges here a quick point of application for us. As far as God is concerned, we are right to feel shame at public acts of nudity. Recall what we have just read in Genesis 3, verse 21. God has made skins to clothe Adam and Eve. That is, God wants them to cover their nakedness. The Lord God is clothing the man and his wife. And God does this even though there are no other people around. At this point, it's just two people, and they are even married to one another. And yet, God wants them covered. We live in a culture that more and more celebrates nudity. In fact, we can hardly remember a time when the flesh was not so prevalent. The internet, important and good for so much, especially the rapid spread of the gospel, of the word of God, as with God is, has also been manipulated by the devil for his evil purposes. Pornography, rampant. This is a true epidemic, even among Christ's people. Just one click of a button on a phone in your hand, and there is an instantaneous naked person in front of your wandering eyes. Nudity is flaunted not just by the nudists at their resorts or on their beaches. Now, going without clothes is everywhere. But let's not pick on the world. They do not know any better. Let's talk about this in Christian community. For example, when is the last time you heard a sermon on dressing modestly? The preacher could take as the text 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, which reads, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Or 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, which reads, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness." 1 Timothy 2, part of verses 9 and 10. Oh, I know, these are not exactly the most popular passages of Scripture upon which to base one's teaching or sermon or Bible study. That thought for the day that will capture you 1,000 likes on social media? I get that. But this is God's Word, and what could be more applicable, practical, than Scripture such as this at a time like this? As those who claim to love, follow, and obey Christ, we must not flaunt our bodies. We must be modest and discreet. Be careful how we adorn, or do not adorn, ourselves. And remember, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are made to glorify God with our bodies, not to glorify ourselves. Think about this. Let it convict you. Think about how you dress and what kind of message that sends to people around you. Think about what pictures you put on social media. Think about what you look at. What are you drawn towards? Does this glorify God? God himself clothed Adam and Eve. Obviously, God felt that fig leaves were not adequate. The man and woman would need something better, something more sufficient, and so God made them garments of skin. The question is raised, how exactly did God do this? Are we to imagine that God made a physical appearance, personally killed and skinned the animals, and dressed Adam and Eve? Bible scholars say, not exactly. Listen to two of our favorite guides. Dr. Elders writes, God did not come down to slaughter animals, skinning them, converting their skins into clothes, and then putting these garments on the man and the woman, all with his own hands. Just how all this was accomplished, we do not know. But the fact is that God provided clothes of skins of animals for the first human beings. End quote. He urges us to see this as anthropomorphic language. God did not literally come down and do this, but the Bible describes it as if he did. The Bible attributes human characteristics to God for the sake of our understanding. H.C. Leupold agrees, concerning the words in verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin, he writes that God did not personally make the animal skins, but he showed man how to do it. Nevertheless, we must emphasize this, and I think here is the point Moses is making at verse 21. God took the initiative to clothe Adam and Eve with animal skins. This is an act of God. This is neither an initiative nor an act of man. God is doing something here that Adam and Eve did not. The Lord is on the move, and whenever he does something, we really want to pay attention to it and see what it is that we should take away, learn, and apply to our lives. So let's look at the text more closely and notice it begins, "The Lord God." We have had this name for God before, and we discussed it all the way back at the start of these series in Genesis 2, verse 4. There we had Lord God. This is Genesis 2, verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Let's have a little review, and I promise this background is worth it. In the Hebrew language, the name for God is Elohim. In English, we translate Elohim as God. So, for example, wherever we read God in the opening chapter of Genesis, we can say Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the way Elohim is used, Elohim speaks of God as the all-powerful creator. This is Creator God. In the Hebrew language, the name for Lord is Yahweh or Jehovah. In English, we translate Yahweh or Jehovah as Lord. So, for example, we can read Genesis 2, verse 4 as, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that Yahweh or Jehovah Elohim made earth and heaven." And Yahweh, or Jehovah, speaks profoundly to the way God relates to men and women, bringing us revelation of himself and redemption for our sin. Now, here again at Genesis 3, verse 21, we have the same name for God, Lord God, which is Yahweh or Jehovah Elohim. What does this tell us? It is subtle but true. What God does here speaks to his redemption from sin. It speaks to his grace and covenant faithfulness. By sacrificing animals, taking their skin, and covering man and woman, the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, is offering them grace. Notice, this is not a grace they ask for. It is not a grace that comes as a result of some good works Adam and Eve have done. What have they done? All they have done is to sin. All they can present to God is their sin. But the Lord God meets them with his grace. He answers sin with redemption from sin. If you would, highlight Lord God in your copy of God's Word. By using this name, the Spirit of God is speaking to us. The God of grace, the God who redeems sinners from sin, the God who sent Jesus to save us, he is at work here in Genesis. The God who created and then rested is again at work in his garden, this time a work of redemption. And tomorrow, Lord willing, we are going to go further, searching a few other scriptures to talk about the sacrifice of these animals and how this relates to none other than Jesus Christ. I offer all of this to you sincerely. I am learning right along with you. I seek to apply to my life, to live with integrity, that which I pass along on these broadcasts and podcasts. And like you, I do this by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within me. So let us encourage one another, pray for one another, and meet together here each weekday. And let's do this as we continue to discover who the Lord God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.